Welcome to the Retail Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Darius Wassefi, and today I'm speaking with Lauren Fondos, CEO and founder of a company called Forte, which provides subscription fitness to consumers from over 4,000 gyms in 40 countries. I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, ProductsUp. When you run an online commerce business, you want to get your products into as many distribution channels as possible. But managing all of your product catalog details into every one of your channels is a lot of work and can be mistake-prone if it's manual. That's why ProductsUp has come up with a product content network that connects data between manufacturers, retailers, third-party data suppliers, marketing, retail, and shopping channels from around the globe. Using the ProductsUp platform, you can quickly and easily understand and transfer your product content to anywhere it needs to be. Over 1,500 integrations through direct APIs and bridges with channels like Google, Amazon, eBay, and more. Check out how it works at productsup.io. That's productsup.io.
Forte is a tech company. We are in the fitness space. What we do is we build hardware and software that we install in boutique fitness studios to enable them to live broadcast their classes daily. So we stream running, boxing, spinning, yoga, you know, everything from Miami, New York, Salt Lake City, Boston, Connecticut, around the world. So basically, we install this hardware and software in a studio that when the instructor is turning on all cameras, it rotates around for that specific class. It's a full TV production, and then it shuts itself off. So this automation that we've built runs across the country all day, every day with no human operators and enables people to take part in the classes that we're streaming from the really popular studios. And so, you know, if you reserve a spot for an upcoming live class, the instructor knows you're taking it and is interacting with you in real time. And we're integrating wearables, so there'll be live leaderboards for you to compete with people from around the world. And really, we just built this technology to enable these great content creators, these great studio partners of ours, to reach beyond the walls and the 30 bodies that can attend their class and, you know, give everybody the ability to take part in these classes.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. It seems like a combination of really the power of the web, live streaming, IoT,
yep,
and wearables. It's all in one. And, you know, you built this technology from scratch.
Yep.
That's pretty amazing.
Took a long time.
And it works, actually. That's good. That's the other
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
So you have over 4,000 boutique studios in different countries.
Well, we stream into, so basically we have 10 different partners, and then we stream it. One, you can either be a part of our subscription, and then we also distribute the content into 4,000.
Oh, okay.
So like 24-hour fitness, Gold. Yeah, so that's where we distribute. But our content creators come from 10 gyms.
10 gyms right now. Okay.
Yep.
And these gyms are mostly in the New York area?
New York, Salt Lake City, Miami, Connecticut, Boston, around the United States right now. And next we'll be going overseas as well.
Okay. So yep. How did you come up with this idea? What's the background? I know you're into health and fitness. Maybe, you know, tell me more about how you decided to take on this journey.
Yeah. Well, I was a trader on Wall Street. I institutionally traded government bonds.
Oh, that's a perfect fit. Yeah.
Exactly. Prior to doing this, so I was not a trainer or a technologist. So yeah, so a big jump for me. I did, though, however, spend my whole life playing sports. I played field hockey. I was a two-time All-American, played in the U.S. program, played for the University of Maryland, which was the best team in the nation at the time. And so obviously working out is very near and dear to my heart. I started to get really into going to these studios and, you know, seeing that they could really leverage technology and that they weren't, and that technology was a big, you know, issue for them, even in terms of scheduling and just the, you know, small day-to-day things. Having a great website obviously is confusing, you know, for a lot of them to figure out in the beginning. And now there's a lot of tools that make it easier, but, you know, a couple of years ago it was much more difficult to kind of, you know, now every business needs to have a technology component, whether you're a tech company per se or not. And so really figuring out a way to enable these studios to do this. And so I started talking to them, you know, seeing if they would want to stream their classes. And 4 years ago, they were all like, you know, our clientele won't like this. And And, you know, they didn't think that they would want to be broadcasted. And now today they're like, Lauren, I need to be streaming. I'm like, I know, I told you that 4 years ago. So, you know, technology has changed and people's perception of, you know, sharing things on the internet has obviously evolved. And that has made obviously our job a lot easier. And people really get this concept now and that they can, you know, leverage technology to be a part of something that they can't necessarily be in. And I think the greatest example or the easiest example is even just, you know, video chatting, like Skyping one another and seeing somebody in a different place and being able to see family elsewhere. And so this is really kind of piggybacking off those concepts and, you know, doing that with fitness and stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, leaving Wall Street was a big jump. I left a really lucrative job. And I knew if I didn't leave it, that somebody else would build this company and I would tell people that that was my idea, but I didn't own the company and I didn't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure, you know, a lot of times we start things without really knowing the road that we're going to be on, right?
Exactly.
If we knew how difficult it was, that they say you would probably not start it. Is that the case for you?
Yes, I would never. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I went from making a lot of money and getting out of work when the bell rang and then being done with work and, you know, booking trips on the weekends to not seeing my family or friends or anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the last couple of years, I had no idea. What this entailed.
Yeah, the cost, you know, the personal cost to starting a company is pretty high.
Yes.
So,
I mean, you can't, the winner isn't going to be going to a friend's birthday party every weekend. It just is what it is.
Right.
But, yeah.
But it is, you know, it is a different path. It's a different path of life. Every path has, you know, its own pros and cons. And,
exactly.
You know, just like, you know, what you said is that, you knew somebody was going to make this company, and for the rest of your life, you were going to say, hey, that was my idea, and exactly. I didn't give it a try.
Yep.
That's the cost of not doing it.
Yep.
So, and of course, the cost of, you know, a lot of people think about doing something, they never do it. So if you didn't start this, maybe nobody would have done it the way you do it.
Yep.
And people would have lost out.
Exactly. I think the main thing is, you know, people were like, you know, you're quitting your job. I'm like, you know, I'm not turning to drugs. I'm doing the hardest thing that you could possibly do. And, you know, I am so much more intelligent in a way and know so much more than I did when I did one finite job and, you know, understood the treasury bond market. And now I've learned so many things. I'm so much of a better hire than I was a couple of years ago. And so, even if everything went wrong, I am so grateful for the experience. And I think the most interesting thing, you know, that I don't even know that I could go back to my old job. You know, now our users email me and say, like, you know, you changed my life. And they send us reports from their doctor and their cholesterol. And you know, it's incredible. And obviously those emails keep us going late at night and, you know, these endless nights. And in my old job working on Wall Street, nobody told me that I made their life better. So I think that's been a big, you know, eye opener for me to really work for something that's making people's lives better as opposed to Wall Street, which was, you know, how much money did you make today? And obviously making money is great, but it's just a different path and a different purpose. And it's really fulfilling and it's incredible to, you know, see these emails from users now.
Yeah, it is the purpose really that drives us. It's the purpose and it's that fulfillment that you just don't get from a job. And nothing wrong with jobs, of course, but for certain people now, so right now, I would say you're probably in the category of unemployable.
Yep.
I mean, you are highly, you know, talented. You can do so many things, but you know, it really needs a very special situation to bring you into another organization. And this is like what happens a lot of times when companies get acquired. You know, the founders end up, you know, they stay there for, you know, I guess the lockout period, which is like, I don't know, a couple of years, and then they leave because that corporate environment is unfortunately not very conducive to happiness.
Yeah. No, you know, it's funny. I meet with big corporations now all the time, and I always used to worry about talking about what our vision was or stuff like that. And I'm like, these guys couldn't steal my idea if I told them all the puzzle pieces. Like, they're just sitting in these meetings and looking at PowerPoints and not really understanding the market or doing anything. And so, yeah, I think it's funny to now see that. I'm just like, what are all these people talking about? And there's so many bureaucratic decisions. And yeah, it's so funny being on a different side of the table, I guess, at this point now.
Yeah. So did you have like entrepreneurs in your family, your father, you know, brothers or I don't know.
My father is an entrepreneur, actually. My brothers both work on Wall Street. And so that was why I wanted to do what they both did. And my father's actually an entrepreneur. And he decided to start this company. He was like, you know, I never thought my daughter would be the entrepreneur. And I was like, you also said that when I was the one that played sports in college. I was like, you got to stop thinking that. I'm not going to do anything. I keep proving you wrong. And so, you know, he was really excited for me and he definitely supported me in this decision and stuff like that. So I have a whole new appreciation now just for my whole childhood. You know, he'd come home. My dad had a company in the gas and oil industry based in Texas and London and Singapore. And he would travel all over for two nights across the country. And now, you know, he'd come home and I would be like wanting to play or something and having no concept of what stress he was under. And now I'm just like, man, I love you. Like I had no idea what you were doing this whole time. And I have such a new appreciation for, yeah, everything that he sacrificed and did and just, you know, coming home and getting off a plane and just doing homework with me. You know, it's like a whole different world now. And I'm so grateful for him and yeah, just appreciate it now.
Right. Well, much credit to him because obviously you still have a great relationship and, you know, even like everything else, it's not the quantity, it's the quality. You know, parents could be with their children all day long, but they don't pay attention to them. They don't really spend quality time. Or you could be there with them for an hour and that hour is totally devoted to that child. So that is actually more valuable than being there all the time and not being, you know, like with the child, which sounds like what your dad did.
Yeah, my dad. Yeah, both my parents are amazing, but I had no idea. I had no idea my whole life, like what stress he was under or what it even meant that he had his own company as opposed to working at a company. And now I'm just like, man, you are my idol.
yeah. That's really good because I mean that's like one of the toughest things when you start is your family. Yeah. Saying, "Hey, what are you crazy? What are you doing?" And you know, they have no idea. So it definitely helps to at least have one person that you know gets it and knows the story. Okay, cool. So let's talk about the dynamics of the fitness industry. You mentioned something very interesting to me before is the fact that the business from the big chains is moving away to boutique studios. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So the fitness industry, you know, is predominantly the revenue comes from big box chain gyms. So, you know, like a New York Sports Club or Equinox or Gold's Gym or these big chain gyms. And they've lost over 42% of their revenues to these boutique fitness studios, which I would consider that a boutique fitness studio is like a small group studio that's focused on one type of workout class. And the experience is, you know, really curated and everything is, you know, amazing experience, fully immersive. And they have a really strong community. And I think the biggest example of these type of communities is CrossFit, which is is an international community. And so these studios are now building, people want to be a part of a community and not everybody loves working out. And so they're bringing more to it than just, you know, doing a sit up. And so these boutique studios have become so popular. And so the gyms are definitely, you know, scrambling to figure out how to keep customers and evolve as times change. And, you know, people are starting to get into these, you know, kind of very pinpointed experiences. And so for the gyms, that's how we began distributing our content into those 4,000 gyms and distributing it there because they're trying to figure out how to evolve as the user evolves. And so, you know, technology is enabling them to do that. Some of the gyms are buying some of these big boutique studio chains, actually trying to figure it out. And so I think when it all shakes out, that streaming will be a big part of the evolution for the chain gyms.
So streaming in and of itself is not going to take away from the actual experience of the user. It's actually going to probably enhance it in this case because it brings it to more people, right?
Exactly. I think the main thing is like the fact that you can take this class every day from wherever you live in Kansas or anywhere in the country and fly to New York City and show up on Tuesday morning at 9:30. And that instructor is in fact there that you've been watching for however long, with the people that you see in that class, real people, and you can go there and physically touch the experience and be a part of it. And I think there's nothing else like that where, you know, if you watch a workout video by Jillian Michaels, who's probably one of the most famous, you know, fitness professionals out there, you can't find her or talk to her. You know, I think it really builds this sense of community, the fact that you can go there and that the people are real and the places are real and people want to be a part of something, right? Not everybody's just motivated to work out because they know they should. And so I think this is how we're really going to change the game and give people access to this. And the fact that it's obviously live is, you know, super fun to know, and the instructor will call out your name. And essentially anything that goes on in gaming or video gaming is sort of where we want to take this, right? We want you to feel fully, you know, immersed in the experience. So we're really excited about, yeah, leveraging tech as it continues to advance as well.
Okay. So the technology that you've built sounds very interesting. And I'm interested to learn about the evolution of that. How did you actually put a team together to actually do this? And then, you know, what are the different phases of the product getting better?
Yeah. When I quit my job, I went on my LinkedIn and I typed in tech, and I pretty much knew nobody in technology. I was like, okay, I only know 3,000 traders. All right, how do we go forward from here? So I really scrambled and, you know, started reading like crazy and going to, you know, tech meetups and stuff to really get in the scene and start to meet engineers. And then really, you know, my circle of friends was not in that. Obviously now I know a lot of people, but then I didn't. And so really trying to, you know, I knew there was a way to do it. And so I called a friend of mine that worked at ESPN, and he was telling me what I explained was going to cost, you know, $1 million per studio. And I was like, my phone takes a great video. There's no way, there's nothing between my phone and this $1 million setup that you just explained. I'm not trying to do it like ESPN does. So I was like, okay, that answer didn't satisfy me. So I kept going and ultimately found, you know, a bunch of engineers and really explained kind of what my vision was. And we put together the first iteration, which was pretty clunky and, you know, didn't really work that well. And then I reached out to a childhood friend of mine who actually has a high-tech alarm company, which has a lot of similarities, right? Because they're, you know, having video surveillance. And so he came in and he was able to really iterate the hardware and also solved a lot of problems that I didn't know I had, like, you know, the installations. The first installation into his studio was me hysterical laughing, trying to use a hammer. And, you know, I was like, this is not going to work going forward. So he had trucks and the guys, and he's like, did you have insurance to do the installation? You can't just get on a ladder in somebody's business. I was like, no, I didn't even know I needed it. So he solved a lot of problems for me very quickly. And he was like, you know, I'm kind of bored of building these alarms. So I was like, great, I have an entire business for you to kind of help out with. So he sort of helped spearhead the hardware portion of it. But then the next step was really installing it in the studio and operating it remotely. And so as we begun to do that, you know, the environments, because we're not doing it in a fixed recording studio like, you know, ABC or NBC shows are produced, and these places are not, you know, teched out like that, there's a lot of parameters that we had to, you know, take into account. So really building this technology that's fully automated that, you know, mixes the audio and switches the cameras and does all this stuff as it would be if it was actually produced by hand. We could override this automation and produce them, but the whole point is that, you know, the classes that occur are the same format every day. So it's not like there's surprises in the classes. We know what's going to happen. And so with this automation, we can build it to, you know, orchestrate each class as it should be. So it took a long time to get it here. There was a lot of parameters that, you know, silly things like the firehouse when there's a call on their radios was messing up the signals of the things that, yeah, had nothing to do with the technology that we built that were extraneous, that were very, very hard to figure out. You know, so it's really just operating it remotely. And now we've got it to a place where we can, you know, build the hardware for a studio. We integrate into their current technology. Yeah, we could build it in a day, ship it and install it remotely in a couple hours and have them broadcasting. So the technology is in a great scalable place right now. So that's super exciting. And now, you know, just really want to continue to build the user platform.
So what's the revenue model for the studios and yourself?
Yeah. So for the studios, they pay $10,000, which the hardware could vary slightly depending on their, you know, integration and how many cameras they get.
Sorry, that got cut off. Can you repeat that last sentence, please?
Yeah, so the studio is paid $10,000 for the cost of the hardware. That could vary slightly depending on the amount of cameras or the integration with their technology. And then at that point, we rev share with them 50-50. We're totally transparent about the cost with them because we want them to do a great job. And, you know, they're the content creators. And so basically, if a user pays, we have a user subscription model. So the user can either pay month to month or annually. So let's say a user paid 10 bucks a month for simple math. Five would go to Forte and five would go to Studios. And then if that user watches half their time at Studio A and half their time at Studio B, they each would get 2.5 and 2.5. So they get paid out based on minutes watched per month in comparison to the total piece of the pie.
Okay, so this the initial investment should probably be paid back to them pretty quickly.
Exactly. And so, and for them to, if they, in the old days when they would make workout videos, you know, and hire a videographer to produce them, they would pay $20,000, $30,000 and they would get, you know, three videos done. So this is obviously much cheaper, much more cost effective, and enables them to broadcast all day, every day. So that's, you know, and it's seamless. They do absolutely nothing differently than they currently do. When we started the company, we thought, you know, we'll get videographers to do it. And if there's a videographer and you're in a, you know, boxing class, you're certainly not going to be acting normal if a guy's walking around with a video camera. The whole point was that it's like you're a fly on the wall, that you're able to be a part of that class. And so we really didn't want to alter the way that the instructor was acting or the people were acting. And so we didn't want the instructor to kind of follow the traditional mold of, hey, you at home, you know, looking at the camera and sort of that cheesy Richard Simmons style workout video that has, you know, been the standard for the last, you know, 30, 40 years. And so we really want it to be where you're able to be a part of an experience and for it to feel very real. And so for that, we needed to build the technology that we have.
Yeah, I think that's really the key word is for me is being real and not I don't want to say fake, but really unreal and, you know, scripted.
And, you're watching somebody that cheats the entire time, potentially. They may do zero push-ups, but they're there and that's what they're doing today. And so I think that's what's also interesting about it, right? Like you become fascinated by other people and it's not, you know, yeah, it's not scripted. You don't know what's going to happen. If the instructor makes a workout and it's really hard and everybody's cheating or struggling, you know, then the instructor's laughing about it. And I think that's what the main, you know, that's how the person at home is potentially feeling. And so I think that's really what we want to, you know, show. And the instructor, you know, as they see somebody that they know walk in and they smile, like, you know, you get to see their personality as opposed to this, scripted, you know, the sort of newscaster type performance that has been always the standard. And it's like, why? That doesn't make you feel more connected to them. And I think we really want to change the script. And that's where all our competitors in the space continue to do the same thing. And I was like, I'm doing the same thing and making these scripted Jane Fonda, Richard Simmons style workout videos is 100% not the future of fitness. That I can assure you. I don't know if my perception is right, but I can assure you copying what's been done over and over again is not the future. And so, yeah, people at first were kind of confused because the videos weren't perfect because they're a real class and anything can happen. The teacher could flub up on their words or, you know, anything. And I think that's where, that's where my vision differs from, you know, a lot of the other players in the space.
Yeah, it's just like my podcast recordings. They're far from
nothing is perfect.
So
that's reality. It's just whether you should choose to show it or not.
Right. So would this be something like a Peloton model? Is that
exactly
similar?
Okay. Yeah, it's very similar to that. Obviously, we don't sell the piece of hardware, but we're enabling you to take. So we've partnered with all these different brands like Peloton, but many different brands and many different type of workouts. So bar, yoga, spinning, boxing, all this different stuff. So it's essentially like that, but for everything.
Okay.
And partnering with big companies, you know, one of our partners has 30 locations across the country. They were recently acquired by Hyatt Hotels, you know, so they've been around for 15 years. They're one of our partners is like a pinnacle of boutique fitness. Mm-hmm. So these are established brands. They already have a secret sauce. They already have a community. And through what we've built now, they can, you know, reach beyond the 30 bodies that can pay to attend that class and fit in that room. And I think that's where we really want to leverage technology and change kind of the game.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting point. The fitness studio was purchased or acquired by Hyatt, a hotel chain.
Yeah, everyone is trying to incorporate wellness in some way, shape, or
Very
form.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I love, I mean, so that's like really out of the box for a hotel business. And I love hearing that. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see where, you know, how they intertwine the two brands now going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's the, what's next for you, Lauren? I know you're going at 1,000 miles an hour. And
exactly.
What's next? What, I mean, so let's say this year is half over. For the rest of the year, what are your goals?
Yeah, we're raising another round of funding, so closing that hopefully in the next week or two, which will be super exciting and really help us to expedite things. Obviously, building a startup, you know, initially I invested myself because I could and I had never raised money. And, you know, you can only move so fast with, you know, one person and then you gain a couple more people. And so this round will really help us to, you know, expedite kind of things where we've been going now, which is super exciting. And we are taking also a strategic investment. So excited to be able to announce that in the coming weeks, which will, you know, really change the game for us. So that's super exciting. Closing this round will be, you know, instrumental. And then we have really clear initiatives that we, you know, want to do, which is, you know, build our TV app and, you know, scale our B2B business. We've begun distributing our content into residential building gyms, hotel gyms, and, you know, chain gyms. So I really like that model because, you know, if you're in a hotel and you go there, it's not your typical gym. You don't do your same routine that you probably do every day at the regular gym. And so I think that's where people are open to trying something new. And that's where we're really excited to have basically the future now and what these developers and are building is essentially like a streaming room for fitness. So almost like a movie theater / karaoke booth for working out. So instead of having this giant gym with all this equipment and people moseying around or not knowing what to do, now they can go into this sort of like virtual movie theater and take these live classes. And that's where the future is going. And that's what we're a part of. So really excited to, yeah, build the technology to integrate well into those spaces and scale that side of the business.
Great. Well, it sounds really exciting. And yep. I can't wait to try it in one of my gyms, hopefully. I mean, I belong to a gym. I don't think they have this, but
nope.
Maybe I should try it at home.
Yeah, or you could do it on your phone.
On my phone, yeah.
So, yep.
Okay, yeah, cool.
No, it's really, I was running at the gym at a hotel when I was traveling, and I was watching a running class from Forte. And when I stopped, three people came over to me and they were like, "What were you just watching?" I'm like, "Yeah, a running class." They were like, meanwhile, they're staring at the wall, trying to keep themselves on the treadmill. And it almost seems so obvious, like this technology exists, right? Like on a treadmill, you can watch a drone video of the desert in Arizona. It's like, what good is that going to do me now while I'm trying to run and keep me motivated, you know? So it seems like almost so obvious that you should be able to take a running class on those screens instead of watching, you know, a dot light up around a track, which is probably the most miserable thing you could stare at because
right.
It goes so slowly when you're running, you know? So it's like, it seems so obvious. So yeah, it's really funny using it and watching people watch me use it. And they're like, "What are you watching?" I'm like, "Running." They're like, "Wow."
It's not a movie or a YouTube video or come on.
Exactly. They're just like, "Wow." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're staring at the wall. This is so much easier for me." So yeah. Been exciting.
I think the hotel and the travel use case is very compelling and also very good for people, for the society, because like travel is like one of the toughest things in life in as far as like on the body.
Exactly.
And so many people have to travel. And I know like I travel for 2 days out of a week. It throws off my entire schedule when I get back.
Oh, totally. So. And I think like more people, you know, I think the great thing now and investors realize this is that fitness isn't going away. It used to sort of be like not really viewed as seriously. And now I think people have a much greater awareness of their overall health and well-being and that fitness is a part of that and being active is a part of that. And so investors are also, you know, seeing that now, which is really exciting for the space too. So I'm excited to be in it at this time. Had I tried to do this a while back, I think it would have been really difficult to raise and get them excited. Peloton has really been, you know, pivotal in getting investors to look at the space, to understand the space, and to want to be a part of it. So they've definitely been, you know, they've done a great job building, you know, helpful from my perspective.
Right, right. And that's the other holy grail of actually making a business work is the timing.
Yeah.
You know, the perfect idea, the perfect technology may not work if the timing is not right.
Exactly. So it's exciting that that's all coming together now. This been or later, you know, you have to, when you have the idea, you just need to do it. The worst thing is it doesn't work out and life is still going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you've done a wonderful job, and I'm really excited to see how things work out and grow at Forte. So awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lauren. It was wonderful speaking with you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Pleasure speaking to you as well. Okay.